Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul?
What's up, Paul?
Most interactive show, and really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call in and text in as well on the HRNP listener line. You can tweet at Gallant Says, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Is refereeing really that big of a problem in sports these days? I know a lot of Rockets fans who perhaps have not found a way to pretzel themselves into the correct take to have after an Eric Gordon foul, I say in quotation marks, of De'Aaron Fox led to them losing. How do you weigh tanking for the number one overall pick against your hatred of the referees, Bill Worrell Army? How do you do it? But refereeing in sports, is it a problem? I think we actually have a pretty good solution. This was suggested by Louisville basketball coach Jeff Walls. I think a way to hold referees at least somewhat accountable, if not to understand the logic behind their decisions.
And unfortunately, see, the three officials don't have to come in here and answer questions. I'd love it if it got to a point where they had to come in and answer and say, hey, what about those calls? Because, see, then all of a sudden it matters more. But the players have to win or lose. The coaches have to come in here win or lose. So why is it just the players and coaches?
So he's got a great point here. I think if you look at what a referee does over the course of a game, you want to know why they made the ruling. And you don't get an explanation all the time. You'll get an explanation after a replay review. You'll get an explanation after a challenge. And you will see from time to time a referee explain to a coach in the moment why he made a decision. Maybe we should mic that up. Though we probably get a lot of profanity from the coaches and thus would not be able to use said audio. But don't you want an explanation of a call that's made? The problem would be this. In the immediacy after a game, much like you would hear from a football coach in particular, asking, hey, what happened on this play? What did you think about the blocking today? They're probably going to defer to what they hope will be a later conversation that gets forgotten. Oh, I got to go watch the film. Referees would have to probably say that. And unless you could, in this press conference, specifically pull up on the broadcast the replay angles of a bad call, I think you're going to have a tough time really holding their feet to the fire. But this suggestion by Louisville basketball coach Jeff Walls is a start. I think the idea of press conferences for referees is a great idea. Will it ever happen? That's the problem. I don't think that any sporting league wants to lend itself to the possibility of liability. A referee admitting, yeah, I screwed up. Like, I believe, was it Armando Galarraga? Way back in the day, who could have had a no-hitter with the Detroit Tigers. And an umpire just messed up a call that I want to say was at first base. That, was it Jim Joyce? I'm trying to remember his name. I forget. But the umpire was apologetic afterwards. And I thought it was a nice moment of humanity there where the guy said, look, I screwed up. I feel awful about it. And he did feel awful about it. He still got crushed for it. But would sports want to open themselves up to that kind of honesty and transparency and in the admission of mistakes when now all of a sudden Vegas is involved. A text in. Replay is a byproduct of Vegas. 100%. I think now people take those videos of calls that were missed and they're like, hey, I got robbed of money. As gambling becomes more and more legalized across the country, yeah, I think there are going to be more people that lose their bleep over a referee screwing things up. And it does not help that basketball has had its own referee gambling scandal in the past with Tim Donaghy. You will never 100% trust Tim Donaghy on that front. You never will trust any referee on that front. It's not going to happen. So I really wonder about, from a referee perspective, how you can get them to do a better job. I think press conferences would help. I don't know that sports leagues are going to actually, though, move in that direction, even though I think it's a good idea. One pool reporter not allowed to get audio or video of a referee after a game, like we had with Kelly Iko and the referee that botched last night's call. That's not enough. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776. You can also join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. LargoBot suggests, let's give the media one more press conference to make it all about them. Well, in this situation, yeah, you're definitely right. The Ben DeBoses of the world and some others are going to be like, I will carry forward the sword of truth and hold it to the neck of you, naughty knave referee. I shall smote thee with my tough question, because I am the white knight who rides against you.
I actually, now that's a good point. I don't think Ben DeBose should be in the same room as Scott Foster.
I think
for Scott Foster's own safety.
Just, yeah, I know.
We can't have him get murdered.
I want it though. I really want it. I want to see
sir, will you resign, sir?
I want that. I mean, I like the added chaos here, and there's nothing quite like a press conference featuring some know-it-all, sassy pants reporter like me asking what they think is a tough question. And it's funny, too, because some people actually want it because they believe that a tough question actually is accountability. It isn't really, because you could lie. You could just lie there. You don't even actually have to answer the question at all. You could just completely make something up, and they're like, well, okay. And they could ask a follow-up question, but you could just point somewhere else in the room.
Move I mean, on. just like what – I already forgot this Petritus. Just like the referee from last night's Rockets game, Ted DeKelly, where he was just like, nope, it was the right call. Like, they can just gaslight and be like, nope. So what I saw was he got in the landing zone, which is like – okay, like what if he didn't? Like what? Or like the Saints Rams NFC Championship game? He could have just been like, I think he got there on time.
The gaslighting thing is such a great point too. You're so right,
because you can't.
I've experienced that before.
You can't admit defeat. I feel like as a ref, unless you are Jim Joyce, and it's like, yeah, I bleeped that up. But even that, he only screwed up the perfect game. He didn't screw up the game itself.
Bill O'Brien did that to me in a press conference the next day, and I've brought this up before, where I asked him a question about comments he'd made in his Sunday press conference about Rick Smith. It was clearly about Rick Smith and about team control. So I followed up about it on Monday, and he acted like he had never said it and then gave me crap for not having the quote directly in front of me. But I gave basically a general what he had said in that moment, and then he said, like, this is like the time you confused our two tight ends, C.J. Fedorowicz and Ryan Griffin.
It was like that.
Right. Which is another example of him gaslighting me, because when I asked him, I was like, hey, like, what happened on that interception? Oh, we'll get the tight end's name right. Well, the interception still bleeping happened, dude. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm trying to do here? So there definitely would be a little bit of gaslighting going on. Anyway, it's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well. As far as sports figures in Houston, who are the best trade assets? That's something we discussed a little bit earlier. And what's Dana Brown doing, new general manager of the Houston Astros, when it comes to two decisions that he's got on his plate? We'll discuss that. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. Houston's most interactive and possibly radioactive sports talk show continues now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call in and text in as well. Earlier today, I threw out on Twitter, at Gallant says, the question of today's show. Said question. Among all Houston sports figures, players, coaches, GMs, and owners, who are the five most valuable trade assets in town? I'm not talking about people we want to trade. I'm just talking about, say, Houston sports were some luxury store in River Oaks. What are the five most expensive items there? And we're talking players, coaches, executives, and owners here. And my top five, one more time, really quickly, and you can react to it if you want. Five, Alpi Shangoon. He's just 20. You got a little bit of time before you got to give him an extension. If this is what he's at 20, with that frame that he currently has, I see more potential in him right now than I do in Jalen Green. Four, Kyle Tucker. He's shown the potential to be one of baseball's best hitters. He is good in the field as well, under team control through 2026, but you're going to have to probably give him a monster contract after that. Yordan Alvarez, I have as my third most expensive item. 25 years old, and he was arguably baseball's best hitter for much of last year, and he's under an extremely team-friendly deal. Through 2029, he's not going to make over $15 million until 2026, but since he's primarily a designated hitter, I have him at three. Kelvin Sampson, I have as two. He has single-handedly turned the UH program into a mid-major juggernaut. They're on par with Gonzaga right now as far as year-to-year success. Obviously, the Zags have been doing it for like multiple decades, but Sampson has turned UH into that, and now all of a sudden they joined the Big 12, which is the best conference in college basketball. Very exciting if you're a Coug. He's under contract through 2027. His contract's only $3.6 million. I'm surprised no one's tried to poach him away. I feel like that's very affordable for some of the basketball programs out there. And number one, Christian Javier. He's 25 years old. Top of baseball in strikeouts per nine and walks, hits per innings pitched, under extremely cheap team control through 2026. He's probably going to get a massive contract as well. And I know that there have been some big contracts given out to players that have not been born in the United States. But I also think that the Astros are a little bit of a different scenario here in that I feel like among baseball teams, they have probably done the best job of creating a culture, if you will, for Latin American players. There are a lot of players in baseball that don't speak English predominantly. It feels like there's a lot of Houston Astros that aren't that comfortable speaking English. They have an interpreter, but there's plenty of teammates that they have in the clubhouse that they can interact with. And I always felt too that, like, you go back to 2017 when this team won the World Series, even though there was a lot of diversity in that clubhouse, I always felt like it was really one clubhouse. Everyone seemed to get along, even though there's a lot of maybe cultural barriers that are there. But anyway, I feel like because of that, Christian Javier might look at this place as a place where he would be willing to take a little bit less money. And I also just take a look at Yordan Alvarez's contract too, and I wonder if maybe it's easier to offer an extension to a player who has been living in maybe not the best conditions, who is a little more appreciative of an offer. He's not going to play hardball the same way a Kyle Tucker would. Perhaps as a racist thought. It's just a thought. Not trying to make it into anything else. So those are my top five. If you got a reaction to that, 713-780-3776 to call in. To text in as well, you could tweet at Gallant Says or join on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Dana Brown did an interview with Brian McTaggart of MLB.com, and there was an interesting takeaway from this back and forth. The question that MLB.com, that McTaggart asked, You mentioned some possible contract extensions with some players. It involves a couple of guys that we just talked about. Obviously, Kyle Tucker, Framber Valdez, and Christian Javier are at the top of that list for the Astros. Where do you stand with that? Are those conversations that have already started? Said Dana Brown in his first interview after a couple of days at the helm of Astros general manager, "We've started. Tucker, we've been in conversation. Some of the stuff was started prior to me coming. We had some talks with Tucker, of course, because it's coming up on the arbitration hearing. And Javier, he's also coming up on the arbitration hearing. We've been in contact with some of the agents to get some thought process. There's an ellipsis here, so maybe there were some more things said. I'm not 100% sure what was said. I think it's interesting that he mentioned Tucker and Javier as opposed to Framber in that spot. Maybe Framber is someone that they're still saying, all right, you did great this past year after the year before where you struggled in the World Series and showed some inconsistency issues. Can you be consistent for a second straight year before we decide to give you that long-term extension? I understand that. And also, Framber Valdez is a little bit older. He's 29 years old. As far as Kyle Tucker, as far as Christian Javier, I am curious to see what Brown's going to do here. I don't like Brown, even though he was asked the question and he was responding to the question. I don't like hearing from Dana Brown that, like, yeah, we've started those conversations. Because the more you talk about the conversations you're having with a player about a long-term extension, the more likely it is that the organization might talk to someone and perhaps float the idea that a really good contract has been offered. Remember when that happened with Carlos Correa a couple of years ago? We found out about, what was it, a six-year, $150 million offer that Correa had been given? When that starts to get put out there, that is generally the organization trying to save a little bit of face and acting, hey, we're doing everything we can. And when you talk about negotiations with Tucker the way that they are, oh, these conversations have already started. Okay, taking a little onus off of yourself as well. I don't like where that potentially could go. So we'll see where they go with Dana Brown as the general manager. These are obviously the big decisions that he has to deal with in the short term. The long term is reevaluating and rehauling perhaps the entire scouting department so that they can continue to scout things the way that they have over all of these years. 713-780-3776 to call, and it's also how you text in as well. David Ortiz had a very hot take recently when it came to some of the other Astros that we've got questions about. He had this to say about an extension for Framber Valdez.
Be honest with you, if I am the Houston Astro, I would get the guy a 10-year deal right now. Right now. Right now, here, go and pitch. Because he loved the game. He loved pitching. He want to be good.
10-year contract for Framber Valdez. Sorry, that's crazy. He's 29. I want to be ageist here, but I think with Framber, you do need to see a little bit more. And also, do you want to sign Framber Valdez to a 10-year contract? Do you think that Framber Valdez is going to be pitching the same way that we've seen from Justin Verlander at the end of his career? He might, but that's the kind of stupid deal that teams give out like the Los Angeles Angels. You're giving a guy a long-term contract like that in their late 20s. You're asking yourself for failure. And I feel bad that baseball players are set up in a way with rookie contracts that they don't get their first payday sometimes until they're 28, 29 years old. Which means that they're probably going to have to go to some desperate team that's just going to throw money at them for the sake of having somebody that's marketable on their team. But you can't accommodate them just because they're kind of screwed over, you know? And I think the Astros have done a pretty good job at holding firm in that regard. 10-year deal for Framber Valdez. That's over the top.
I don't think Ortiz is like actually looking at the... if you ask like probably David Ortiz, how old is Framber? He'll probably be like, I don't know, 25? He's relatively new.
Yeah, that's probably...
I love Ortiz. He's good on the Fox set, but he's not exactly like going through the spreadsheets here.
He's more...
entertainment.
Charles Barkley analysis than he is Troy Aikman analysis, if that makes sense. It's more for fun. Aikman's pretty serious as far as evaluation goes. Mega Blast says, bleep David Ortiz. He did PEDs. I love Ortiz, but it's crazy to me that he got in the Hall of Fame and Barry Bonds did not. Again, he's got the 500 home runs, three World Series, all that. He's very friendly, but I mean, he probably did something. I don't think that's that difficult of a thing to say. Do I even need to say allegedly? He was on the Mitchell Report.
Yeah, he was in the Mitchell Report.
Yeah. So am I really going to decide to say, well, David Ortiz is fine, but all these others aren't. I mean, it would be essentially you're a bouncer at a club and there's a group of very attractive women and you are rejecting like the more famous attractive woman. Like, how does that work?
You got plastic surgery. Nope.
Yeah. Those are bolt-ons. You can't come in. Well, if they don't come off in the shower, then, I mean, they're real. That's how it goes. That's what I say.
How often do you say that?
I've said it once a year.
on a special day or just on average?
Full disclosure, it's like one of the funniest things my dad's ever said to me. I forget what we were talking about sometime. He's like, well, they don't come off in the shower. They're real. I'm like, oh, never thought about it like that. I mean, do we want to dive into a boob job conversation right now? No. We'll save that for the Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. You want to see where that rabbit hole goes. Some big trades yesterday across the NBA. We're not just talking about Kevin Durant. We're also talking about Russell Westbrook. Plus, Kyrie Irving continues to just troll me and everyone alive by talking out of his ass. But first, I got to tell you about my friends at TGS, because insurance rates are skyrocketing right now. This crazy inflation has made everything more expensive, including your home policy. I'm learning of customers who had 30, 40, even 50% increases before making the switch to TGS. Why do so many of my listeners switch to TGS? Because they make it so fast and easy to save money. Their instant quoting system shops the market and delivers you savings in 15 seconds. You can't afford to wait any longer. The time to save is right now. So grab that phone and text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system asks for your address. You send it back. You'll get your full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. This company and the savings are legit. TGS now has over 2,000 five-star reviews, and their average customer from 2022 is still saving over $800 on their home insurance. Simple, fast, easy, big savings. The TGS insurance way. Let them work for you today. One more time. Text money to 232323 to get your home insurance quote and save big today.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
One of the perks of radio is that there's delicious food that comes to you all the time. So shout out to our friends at Spanish Flower. They got three locations, one on North Main. There's one on Airline as well. It's 24 hours open. And guess who calls it her favorite Mexican restaurant? She may or may not have been snubbed at the Grammys. I honestly wouldn't know because I don't listen to music. But it is Beyonce's favorite place. So they got some beef out there. They got some shrimp, enchiladas. Right? I walk by it and I'm like, I got to wait until the end of the show. Margaritas, got to wait until the end of the show. Be responsible. But I'm dying right now just thinking about this food from Spanish Flower.
Do they put that like on the sign outside the restaurant? Like,
honestly,
Beyonce's favorite restaurant.
Hey, do you think you're ready for this jelly? Because our tacos are delicious as opposed to bootylicious. That was Destiny's Child, right?
Yeah, good job.
I remember the first time I heard that song, I'm like, wait a second, is this the Edge of 17? Because it's the beat from Edge of 17 by Fleetwood Mac that's playing in the background. And I'm like, wait a second. Wait, why are they singing about booties? Huh. I don't think you're ready for this jelly. Huh. I think I am ready for this jelly, though. Beyonce, I don't think you know what you're talking about. I'm always ready for the jelly. Mmm, peanut butter and jelly. Yummy. Hey, Paul, get back on topic. This is a sports show for families and for children. But shout out to our friends at Spanish Flower. I'm starving right now. The NBA is a fun league, is it not? There's lots of crazy things that go down every single day. And we had a lot of chaos over the past 24 hours. Just to highlight everything that happened, Kevin Durant is now a member of the Phoenix Suns. He was shipped from Brooklyn to Phoenix in a move that will definitely help the Rockets out, because the Phoenix Suns have now just robbed, essentially, the Nets of the only thing that they had to keep them remotely competitive. And the hope is that over the years, the Rockets picks that they have for the Nets and the pick swaps are going to mean that they're going to get some more good players. But the trade actually includes Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, who have, I guess, been rumored as potential Rocket acquisitions today. Jay Crowder, who I think went back to Milwaukee today, and four unprotected future first-round picks. The other trade that we saw last night, Russell Westbrook has been traded by the Lakers. It's kind of funny now in retrospect seeing the way that Russell Westbrook was acting during that Lakers-Thunder game. Same thing with Anthony Davis, too. Westbrook traded so that the Lakers could get D'Angelo Russell. Hasn't he been here before? Am I mistaken, or am I thinking of somebody else?
He was drafted by the Lakers.
Yeah. So they're bringing him back?
Yeah.
God, that organization, low-key, is horribly run.
The Lakers brought back D'Angelo Russell in a move we will not talk about other than this. The Spurs sent Jakob Poeltl back to Toronto.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I bet you when you woke up, you didn't think you'd hear some Jakob Poeltl talk.
That sounds like a fake name.
Good center. They needed him.
How do you think Swaggy P feels about D'Angelo Russell going back to L.A.?
How do you think all the players that are currently cheating on their girlfriends feel about D'Angelo Russell going back to L.A.?
What a great point. So the other move that we have yet to see happen, I think there's an expectation that the Rockets will trade Eric Gordon. They should. Kyrie Irving, a couple of days ago, was traded from the Brooklyn Nets to the Dallas Mavericks. And he was the first person that got to weigh in on last night's Kevin Durant trade. And in true Kyrie fashion, you knew he was going to talk out of his ass. Here's Kyrie.
I'm getting a little bit older. I just love the competition now that we can be in the same conference, and I welcome all that. You know, get to see him a little bit more, probably playing against Phoenix a lot more, and that's what I'm looking forward to. Everything else in between, I just am glad that he got out of there.
I'm glad he got out of there. Why are you glad he got out of there? Was it because of the disrespect, Kyrie? What was it? What happened? Oh, well, I'll tell you at a later date, which he said during his introductory press conference, which is just such a cop-out. I posted that clip from the radio show yesterday on TikTok, and there's a bunch of Maverick fans who are getting pissed off at me. They're like, oh, are you comparing Deshaun Watson to Kyrie Irving? No, but I'm comparing what they said. Whenever someone says they'll tell you something at a later date, they are full of it. They are waiting for you to forget.
Thank you for bringing that up. I hate it whenever you bring someone else up and you're saying one action is like another, and they're like, you're equating the two? It's like, no, I'm saying the action that I'm talking about is the same.
Thank you, Sean.
Not the offense. How they reacted is the same.
That's all Twitter is. That is all Twitter is, by the way, and I'm glad that Elon Musk is running this toxic wasteland into the ground. With now you're limited in how many tweets you can put out.
And there's like a few hours where like you couldn't do something, like you couldn't tweet out things unless you scheduled them or
100%.
Something. 100%. I was like, let's at least make it to the Super Bowl, and then then this thing could just throw
die.
It in the trash.
Please
like,
die. I want Twitter to die really quickly. Kyrie Irving was not done talking about the Brooklyn Nets, and you put a microphone in front of his face, the poop will appear. Here is Kyrie Irving suggesting that, yeah, I knew from the start that I didn't want to be in Brooklyn.
Do you feel like you were the first sort of domino to fall as far as him getting moved, you asking out, you getting traded, then the natural next thing was him being next?
Nah, I think this was in the works. Like, after year one, I was unsure about whether or not I wanted to be in Brooklyn long term again because of things that was happening behind the scenes. I just did my best to put my head down and work as hard as I could. There were some unfortunate circumstances that came up there that were out of my control, whether it be the mandate with the vaccine or missing games, being suspended, or, you know, just little things that I think, you know, just put just wrenches in our journey. You know, and then we
wrenches
had James,
in our
and
journey.
We were supposed to be a super team. Like, I think I would like to say something, too, about the super team of me, James, and KD that everyone thinks should have worked. We played very limited time together, and there were a lot of injuries and things that took place, and I would have liked to see that work for the long term, but there are no mistakes, no coincidences, and we got to move forward. But I'm happy that I could look back on that journey and reflect and say I learned a lot of things from those guys and my teammates in Brooklyn and just my journey throughout this.
Anyone who says that they're on a journey in life is generally the kind of person that's going to buy live, laugh, love signs from Target and post them all over their home. God, he's so basic. He's just basic. And it's funny, too, that he's just casually moving on past the, you know, lots of things happened, the pandemic. Oh, so you knew the pandemic was going to come here? That's why you were hesitant about an extension? Are you in with China, Kyrie Irving? To go a little bit further, the suspension. Oh, what was the suspension for?
Things out of his control.
Right.
Like his Twitter account.
You were totally not in control of that. You got to fire your Twitter person. Better can him really quickly. It was out of my control that Jeffrey Bezos posted that $40, 3.5-hour documentary online that I posted a link to. You know, out of my control. You know, it just got in the way of my journey. And he said, I learned a lot of things along the way. Good God, man. If I didn't know he was serious, I would think it's an elaborate troll job. It's not, though. I think with Aaron Rodgers, there's an element of trolling going on. Kyrie has just had his ass kissed his entire life. Now, all of a sudden, people are like, dude, you suck. But the problem is, the people that say he sucks are generally people like me. We little people in the media. His peers love him. And I just wonder what it is that they like about him. The guy has quit on multiple teams. Multiple. Not one. Multiple. Who likes playing with him? If you're one of the Boston Celtics and you were playing in that Game 7 against LeBron James and the Cavaliers a couple of years ago, and Kyrie Irving can't show up courtside because he's scheduled sinus surgery for that day, not the day after, what are you thinking about him? Like, you clearly think he sucks. You have to. Like, he's not going to be there for Game 7. Push it back. I get it. The NBA playoffs take years, but you had plenty of time to do this, unless you, like, ran into a wall the day before the game and it was an emergency surgery. He's just absolutely terrible. And to a point where I can't even make the argument that Harden's worse. I can't. I want to. I really want to make the argument Harden's worse. You know me.
Because part of the reason James Harden quit on the Nets is because of Kyrie Irving. Like, that's the funniest part about it. It's like, well, James Harden also quit on two teams. Well, A, Kyrie has quit on three.
Harden quit on, you know what? Harden quit on the Nets because of Kyrie.
Yes.
Like, it's
you can't really even hold that against him.
He did quit on the Nets. But I think in totality, quitting on two teams that quickly, you know, less than 2 years apart, that's obviously a bad look. But Harden was entirely justified in quitting on the Nets. He really was. The Rockets, it's less so. They kissed his ass for 10 years, and he gave him the finger at the end of it. He is something else, man. Kyrie. And I thank him for the content. But, you know, I learned a lot of things on my journey. Oh, did you learn that you should make sure that you get a kicker in your contract that when you get traded, you get a $2 million bonus? I mean, that's a good thing to learn. Not going to lie. I'd love that. This is on brand. Boogie Gang 504, who I'm sure has also watched that conspiracy theory video on Amazon, says, tell us where the black guys touched you, Paul. Why is it about race? Why can't it just be about an insufferable douche? He sucks. Do you want me to bring up another one so that we can do the equivalencies that a lot of you guys are looking for? Aaron Rodgers also sucks. How many more people do you want me to put in there? Do you want me to be fair and balanced? Some of you people are so, this is an indictment on black people, what you're saying right now. You are the worst when you're going there. Kyrie sucks, regardless of race. He just sucks. It's that simple. And he confirms it every single time his mouth hole opens and all the bleep just sploops out of it. Yeah, those aren't even words. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. We wrap everything up after this.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
I'm going to go wheelhouse for a moment and do some hot Texans takes. I'm just kidding. I like the wheelhouse guys. Killer Bees are up next, by the way. We're still waiting to see who they're going to hire as a coordinator. I'm not going to act like I know a damn thing about any of these guys other than what's on their resume. But we do know that the Texans are going to interview Matt Burke for defensive coordinator. Burke spent last year as the Cardinals' defensive line coach. Could he bring J.J. Watt back out of retirement to come back with the Houston Texans and retire? He was the Dolphins' defensive coordinator in 2017 and 2018. He's also worked for the Eagles and Jets since leaving Miami, and he worked with the Bengals, Lions, and Titans earlier in his career. They had also interviewed Chris Harris, the Commanders' defensive back coach, but he just took a job that I did not even know was real. He is going to be the Titans' team defensive passing game coordinator / cornerback coach. Cornerback coach would make sense. Defensive team passing game coordinator. Oh, okay.
I mean, I guess offense has a passing game coordinator. All this is just made up titles.
Like, it does seem
like just
it.
Made up titles. Like, it doesn't matter.
Do you
he's
think
he's defensive backs coach?
Sean, to me, it sounds like this is the guy that Russell Wilson on the sideline is expecting to yell pass whenever there's a pass.
I feel like that would fall under his purview.
Definitely. Get a megaphone. Pass. Also, they've interviewed, and we're waiting on offensive coordinator too, 49ers passing game coordinator Bobby Slowick, Bengals receivers coach Troy Walters. There are so many coaches in football. There really are. These coaching staffs are massive. We're talking like 16, 17, 18. And some coaching staffs have way more titles than you would think. And I really like seeing some of them. I want to see who's like the assistant to the head coach as opposed to being the assistant head coach. The assistant to the assistant of the head coach? Like, who's the Dwight Schrute or Andy Bernard of the average NFL team?
I've seen, I don't think it was the NFL. I think it's a college team. I forgot who it was, but they had an outside receivers coach and an inside receivers coach.
Mm.
Like a slot
yes,
receivers.
You're
and
right.
Then,
you're
the
right.
X and the
you're
Z.
Right. Damn. I know who you're talking about, too.
Yeah. It might have. I would think Baylor, but it might not have been Baylor.
You're
someone who ran an offense like that.
Yes, it's really bad. There was some news as far as coordinators go that happened in Tennessee. And I would like to make fun of the Titans for this. I think we all would here in Houston. I don't think we get to. So Tennessee hired Tim Kelly officially as their offensive coordinator. He was on the Titans coaching staff this past year. Tim Kelly, obviously some familiarity with Mike Vrabel, dating back to Tim Kelly's time in Houston. I want to roast this. I really do. But we can't. Tim Kelly and Pep Hamilton, it actually worked. Tim Kelly had some of you guys thinking up that, not Pep Hamilton, Tim Kelly had some of you guys thinking that Davis Mills was good. He did. He had some of you guys thinking he was good. And, you know, if I'm going to call myself out for being wrong about something, I was so wrong about Pep Hamilton. Like, I was legitimately excited about Pep Hamilton going into last year. How stupid was that? Just think about all the things we saw last year from the bleeping beginning. They start off with this formation where there's a bunch of offensive linemen out to the side of the field, and then they come back into the middle. You have these super offensive line heavy sets that they used. You have the Davis Mills cat, the Driscoll cat. I mean, some of the stuff that we saw Pep throw out this past season depresses me, because Pep had a pretty good resume up to that point. He did. He did pretty well in the XFL as a head coach. I thought to myself, well, why not make this guy the head coach instead of Lovie Smith? Made more sense than Lovie Smith, and maybe I'm still right on that front. But Pep Hamilton, man, depressing year as offensive coordinator, to the point where you can't make fun of Tennessee anymore for hiring Tim Kelly. That's a bummer.
Yeah, you still kind of can.
I guess. I don't know. Anyway, Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. It is that time. It is time for Garbage Time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage Time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
Ah, I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Is this take garbage? Boogie Gang 504. Can't let his bad take go. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. I'm just stating the obvious. He the only host that go overboard on black athletes on this station. I go overboard on everybody, baby. Everybody.
I do think that when you mentioned Deshaun Watson in the black quarterback thing, I think that's what...
That's true.
Paul, can you say that Deshaun Watson is not all black quarterbacks?
Deshaun Watson is not all black quarterbacks. Now you know.
Yeah. Hey, Ben Roethlisberger, also a scumbag.
Mm-hmm. Fair and balanced. Who are some other white scumbags? Whitey Bulger? Awful person.
It's right there in his name.
R.I.P. in not. Adolf Hitler. Really bad white guy. Joseph Stalin. The worst. Actually killed more people than Hitler. People forget. Want to keep going? Julius Caesar, problematic. End of the Roman Republic. Where else could we go?
Cowboy Joe West.
This is slightly different. Bad white people.
Oh, the ref in the Rockets game from last night.
Oh, well, hang on a second. I don't know. I honestly do not know.
He was white.
Was he white?
I saw him. He was white.
Okay, but...
Or at least the crew chief was white. I do not know who actually called the foul.
Okay. Listen, I'm just asking the question.
Okay.
Because I don't see color, you know? I've said this all the time, and people generally believe me, but today, not so much, you know? Other bad whites. Every NFL owner. Got him.
Some would say you.
Me. Bad white person. Very white person, too. It's like a little scary. People have been making comments about the beardless face. They're like, dude, you're scaring the children.
Oh, yeah. How are we coming on the what's it called? Feedback.
It's been very mixed. Like, you want another dating story? Because this is garbage time. So, a person that I've hung out with a couple of times is telling me that I need to grow it back. And I'm just telling her, no. Now I don't want to grow it back. I actually did want to grow it back for a second, but now I don't want to grow it back.
I'm the same exact way. When someone tells me to do something, it immediately makes me not want to do it.
Exactly. So, you need to grow it back. Grow back to scruff. No. What's in it for me? What's in it for me, Miss Indecisive? What's in it for me? Oh, your face is scratchy. What? It's smooth like a baby's bottom. What are you talking about? Anyway, as you could tell, I've been in a bit of a salty mood today. But I'm sorry, Boogie Gang. I'm sorry. I'm a racist. R.I.P. in peace. You can isolate that one. Paul Galancho, big thanks to everybody who tuned in on twitch.tv/ESPN975. Text line, callers, and of course, the one and only Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm sorry that I bring you down as a white person, Sean, by my association with you. But you know what? Tomorrow's another day. I'm going to be like Ebenezer Scrooge, waking up on Christmas Day after seeing all those ghosts, realizing he needs to change. I'll change tomorrow. So long, farewell, have yourselves a wonderful Thursday. The Killer Bees are next. Peace!
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.